All right now. We've had our supper after a long day's ride in this ocean of a desert.
Ah, now for my favorite time in the desert with friends. Samal, stories in the night. It's quite traditional.
Ah, the stars are out, we have a fire and time on our hands. Whose turn is it to tell a story? I told mine last night, a skeo you shared before that, Verasta, then Lalafi, so that leaves...
The dwarf.
Dvergura.
Dvergura!
Something from the Dwarf Forge Mountains.
Hero's Tale.
Epic legends of old.
A real dwarf saga.
Ah, already?
Come now. We all take a turn to pass these long nights.
So, the backdrop of stars is marvelous.
I ran out of dwarf sagas already.
Give a story that your Isitar would like. I never met him, but I feel as if I know him so well through you.
Isitar?
Yeah. Give us a Northman story that the big blonde Lunk would have told.
A wildman tale of the wild north.
I would like to hear of his favorites as well.
Ah, you won me.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
It was a time when the world was wild and hostile, and the gods fought among themselves without care of the happenings of the world.
But who believes in the gods anymore?
Quiet. Let her tell the story.
A time when weapons made of stone and bone made way for the Stone Witcher's metal. A time when dragons filled the skies.
Wait. I thought you didn't believe in dragons.
It's a story. There can be dragons in a story. That's probably how people came to believe they were real in the first place.
No more interruptions. Continue, our evening's scald.
Giants walked the land, and unnamed horrors haunted the night. It was the summer of fire, when the spring of tears had passed away. Dakor and his band came down out of the northern mountains and into the untamed basin lands of Akur, a land filled with clans of wild men and warlords ruled from horizon to horizon, but spurned the forest and deep woods, for they could not be tamed. Dakor and his two companions had left the wastes of the north, where men hid in caves from the stinging winds and bitter cold. They crossed the white-shrouded Silver Mountains, the realm of the frost giants, snow trolls, and ice dragons. Underneath the mountains fought the clans of dwarves for controls of the metals they mined, and their battles sounded like thunder from below. Down the foothills of the northern range, the trio traveled, following the waterfalls of the snowmelt as they drained into the headwaters of the basin's rivers. Rivers that would become so wide you could not sling a rock across their breadth. Rivers that kept rival clans and warlords safely apart, and in whose depths lurks no ally to human. They came in a season when the sky turned to fire, and the air itself was hot, and when the moon came out, you could not see your own breath. And the cold eye of the winter god, Talvi, with whom Dakor was greatly out of favor, could not see into this realm. Their journey brought them to the rocky lands, where rivers cut through the mountain stone. They traveled the tops of the rock crests and followed the goat trails through the cliffs. Then the land laid out flat and green, and such were lands that Dakor had never seen before. And as they looked out below to this lush land, they saw a gathering of people, some on horseback, most on foot, all with spears. As Dakor looked closer, he saw that some horses were dead upon the ground, and the people scattered. Batikin pointed up to the sky.
Look, up there.
It is a dragon.
Dakor course, squinted his eyes into the bright sun. He could see the beating wings, dark in silhouette, that indeed looked like the ice dragons that terrified the north. But it lacked the long neck, and its tail was shorter than a dragon's, and it looked club-like as it whipped about in the air.
Not a dragon. But let us see this sight of the stranger southern lands.
The band hurried down the rocky slope and, for their first time, stepped upon the green lands below the frozen mountains. The creature of the air roared with a mighty bellow echoed off the rocky cliffs. It climbed upon the wind with its wings and peaked at the top of its ascent. Then it folded its wings and stooped into a dive, coming out of the blinding sun upon its foes. As it dove in the roar, its tail flashed above its head. Although too small to be seen, spikes released from its tail laid low three men to the ground. Thakur could see the unfortunates twist and writhe to the ground as they were hit. The remaining warrior on horseback raised his spear in the air in defiance. The creature unfurled its wings to stay its plummet, and with great claws upon its front side, plucked the rider off its mount. It held on for a short, terrible moment as it rode up upon the wind again, and then released its foe to fall flailing to the ground. Then the creature landed and turned full on its foes, and Thakur on his back could finally see the creature in the open sunlight. It had the body shape of a snow leopard, about twice its girth and height. Its fur was dun-colored, with no pattern, and around its collar it sported a great mane of darker brownish fur. Its wings were brown and leathery, like a dragon or a cave bat, and behind it swung a tail which ended in a club bristling with long spikes, which, as they had seen, could be hurled at prey or foes with deadly results. Standing upon the ground, with its wings folded, the creature stopped, resembling a dragon, and moved about on all fours like a great cat. Paced back and forth, roaring at the cluster of humans. Its shoulder muscles rippled along its back when it crouched, ready to spring. The humans rallied together, one mounting the riderless horse, and then they all charged at the malevolent creature. The monster sprang into the air and unfurled its wings, hanging for a moment above the charging group. Its tail lashed out again, this time beneath it, and from the volley of spikes, both horse and rider fell, along with two of the humans on foot. They hit the ground all at once, and those behind ceased their charge in shock of their fallen. The creature landed again and gave a great, defiant, taunting roar.
Brave. But foolish they are.
They'll never defeat it while it can fly. They're poor hunters.
This is no band of hunters. Weapons are strange to their hands. All their skilled warriors and hunters must have been defeated or are gone.
Let us be their hunters then.
This is not our clan.
We have no clan that is ours.
Nor a hunting party that is ours.
As the old proverb says, we can argue when the sun goes down. For now there is work. Let us forward while our prey shows us its flank.
The trio moved in with quiet step. Though from the shouting from the humans and the roaring from the creature, stealth of sound was not needed. To keep up on a blind side, however, was an advantage. Thakur made motion for Chaldar and her bow, to move farther off to the flank with the instruction to wound the beast creature in the wing. He and Vatican would close when this was accomplished. This instruction Dakor gave through the hunting hand and body signals, which all northerners of the tundra understand. Chaldar nodded acknowledgement. The hunt was on. Chaldar fired a quick volley of three arrows, all of which struck the creature in the wings. They were folded against its body in preparation for a lunging charge against its immediately engaged foes. The monster screeched in pain and fury, and it attempted to unfold its wings, but could only manage to unfurl its uninjured side. Distracted with this, Dakor and Vatican closed with the monster with a furious battle cry. Dakor attacked its front with his star metal sword, and Vatican closed in close onto its flank with his short sword and knife. Dakor gave the creature a terrible wound upon its front quarter, while Vatican slashed the wounded wing to ribbons, ensuring it would not be able to escape the flank. Though Vatican did not escape the wrath of the angry beast, he was brought down by no less than four of the monster's tail spikes. Besides stinging with its needle-sharp points, it was discovered they were also dripping with venom, which burned like fire through Batikin's veins. After furious battle with the enraged beast, Dakor, with a mighty blow of his star metal sword, beheaded the brute in a single stroke. Much to everyone's surprise, the monster kept fighting for moments after its head had been severed. The mouth made the roar even longer after, though being parted from its neck and voice cords made horrible, gnashing sounds. Such was the fury and might of this deadly monster. Chalda raced from her position and tended to Batikin and his injuries. Dakor, drenched with sweat from the combat and sporting bloodied claw tracks across his bare chest and legs from the monster's assault, turned back to the people who had first engaged the monster.
I claim the head as prize.
The people thanked Dakor and his companions profusely, and when they saw the wounded Batikin, they invited the trio to their home fire, where their clan's Angakok could aid his healing.
I will give him Bandis Bud. It will purge the venom that is in his veins, though these next few hours will not be pleasant.
Cold. Cold.
We need to keep you in the land of the living. Delving root. When it's a paste, I'll smear it on your wound. This will help draw out the venom. But much of the toxin has already been taken into your body.
You have others who were wounded by the creature's thorns, yet you say they will die tonight without the Bandis Bud.
I am nearly spent of the purging bud until the next season. The monster has thinned our herd with its attacks upon us. We have few left who can defend us.
Now the monster is dead. You can rest easy from its scourge upon you.
When the sun is up, we battle the flying beast. When the sun goes down and the moon comes out, we fight the rat men.
Rat men? Tell me of these rat men.
You've been listening to Dakor the Fearless Part 1, a fireside short story of the Dungeons & Damsels series by Unchained Productions, written and directed by David Ian. Voice talent by John Campbell as Aziz and Angakok, Jack Harvison as Tuntimus and Vatican, Karen O'Brien as Devergira, Daniel Rovan as Seneschal and Dakor, Aaron Summonsby as Lullaby, Varista, and Chaldar. Sound engineering by Dino D'Elfwell. Sound design by David Ian. Theme by Ron Perovich. Music by Mark Rose. Additional music by Lowcrab. Dacor the Fearless Part 1 is a fireside short story of the Dungeons & Damsels series by Unchained Productions.